folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart. Boy, it was a beautiful day today. Sun was shining. Temperatures actually warmed up for a change. So I'm still feeling the residuals of my sunshine high this morning. I'm on my big comfy couch with my big cup of coffee. Hopefully you guys are comfy too in your comfy spot with your favorite beverage. You might want to forgo the snack this week, however, because I'm going to do something a little bit different. I've been doing a lot more research lately regarding parasites. We've talked about this many times before on my shows, but tonight I'm going to compact a lot of it together for you in a neat little package that's squiggly, squirmy, and kind of gross. But there's information out there that, folks, we need to be aware of, as disgusting as it sounds, as upsetting as it may be to some of us that have a squeamish stomach, because it's vital to ourselves and our family's health. A good portion of this show tonight is going to be dedicated to one guy in particular whose interview I grabbed off the internet because he's made some remarkable discoveries. And in light of disclosure, he's sharing it with the public and also ways to help. Different things that we can do to cure this. And there are going to be other clippies that are talking about different types of parasites, how they got here, but also cures. One of which you may be very surprised to find is certain types of alcohol, particularly tequila and whiskey. Moonshine. So that's why college students survived spring break. They weren't partying. They were doing preventative medicine. Somewhere a frat guy just sat up like, "Mom, I was detoxing." Imagine ancient shamans discovering this. Yes, the sacred worm purge. Uncorks bottle. Lime optional. I did hear a pretty cool theory that the reason that they drop the worm in the tequila bottle is to make sure that it's potent enough that the worm dies. Maybe Jose Cuervo knew something we didn't. Imagine if hospitals treated their patients this way. "Sir, you have a parasite. Nurse, salt the rim." Common sense tells us to avoid parasites. You wash your produce, cook your meat properly, drink clean water, don't eat gas station sushi, and support digestion. And psychologically speaking, when people feel distrust toward institutions, that metaphor can become literal. The system is parasitic because there are parasites in the snow. And if tequila really does kill parasites, that makes every dive bar a medical clinic, does it not? Every Uncle Joey at Thanksgiving is basically an infectious disease specialist. Instead of passing the mashed potatoes, people are like, "No, pass the ivermectin and a lime wedge." Somewhere in Cancun, a parasite is filing a worker's comp claim. "Yeah, I was just vibing and thriving in the intestine and then Patron showed up." I totally get how all of this sounds a little cray-cray, but I'm going to throw all of this information out there and let you make your own decisions. But if that's the case, then Vegas should totally be a sterile environment, no? Did this past winter storm come with a parasite subscription box? I'd like to think I could still enjoy my whiskey the old-fashioned way for relaxation, not deworming, but Marty McFly, we're not in the 80s anymore, and times, they are a-changing. And while my listeners have already figured out because they're what?
Savvy.
You know it. Snow isn't sterile. Air isn't sterile. We are not sterile. There are microbes in the clouds. There are microbes in the rain. There are microbes on your eyelashes. Nature's been doing that since long before Wi-Fi and the internet discovering microorganisms in melted snow. Like, "Guys, I found life." The scientists are going to rebut with, "Yeah, it's called Earth." I get it. It could be fibers. It could be pollen. It could be normal environmental microfauna. Not everything that wiggles is a government bioweapon. However, let's look at what's been done to us historically. I'm sure many of you can mentally tick off at least 5 different examples of when the government has lied to us. First thing that jumps out at me is, hello, Vietnam, Agent Orange, Tuskegee, Gulf of Tonkin, COINTELPRO, NSA mass surveillance, MKUltra, radiation experiments, Operation Sea Spray, Montauk, and most recently, the whole COVID thing and the jab. And those are just a few. So when a guy comes along like this John Kness that I discovered this week on an interview with Jaziel Created to Heal, who talks about being in the service during the time of Desert Shield and Desert Storm and how his ship was given a vaccine. He thinks the vaccine is the one that they gave out a few years ago to the general public. Years later, he started to get really sick. His organs were shutting down and he was working on 15% of his brain. power. 85% of his brain had shut off. By what I would call a miracle, he was hooked up with an organization that took him and healed him with hyperbaric chamber treatments, over 60. He was diagnosed with something called toxic TBI, traumatic brain injury. He had been labeled fully disabled. He said it happened fast. It was like a 6-month period. He was relatively healthy and went into a very rapid decline. So he got treated for that and was getting better, but then he started to backpedal. And in 2022, in Colorado, where he moved to, he started taking samples of the snow and hail. I encourage you to check out the whole interview on YouTube, but he says he took over 200 samples. And what he says he found were lab-created organisms, or specifically, lab-created parasites. And he came up with a way to get them out of the body. So I've cut his interview into 3 sections. It's going to go about 38 minutes for his story, and then we'll get into some other ones. Listen with an open mind and take away what you need. And then we'll jump into the other clippies that further explain different types of parasites, ways to treat, things like that. I need to preface all of this by telling you, of course, that I'm not a doctor and I can't guarantee any of these treatments or say that any of this is real and legitimate. I'm letting you listen and make your own determinations. And whatever, if any, treatments you choose to take away from this is at your own risk. As you listen to John's interview, you're going to be very surprised, I think, to hear that ivermectin is not effective with this type of parasite. In fact, it's detrimental when you try to use this to cure this type of parasite. So there's my spoiler alert. I did reach out to the host of the show because I'd like to interview her and maybe have her on my show, maybe go on her show, and I'd like to talk to John directly as well. He talks about elderberry syrup in his interview, and I've been taking it, as you guys know, for a long time for help in strengthening my immune system against allergies and just to prevent colds and flus, things like that. And it's kind of weird because I hadn't had any in a while, and I made a fresh batch, and I was guided to double my dose of that, which I find amazing in light of this interview when he says it's one of the things that can help, and you'll hear him say that. She told me to message her back because she didn't get my first message, so I did do that. I'm hoping I hear from her in the next couple of days because I wanted to share not just that with her and also you guys, but also to let you know about those detox foot baths I've been taking. I had been doing them about once a month, and I was also guided in prayer to start taking them once a week, and guess what? Since the week of the storm, the big storm we had a couple weeks ago that hit all areas of the country, not only is there an odor to the water when I'm done, which I've never ever had before, but the color has changed exponentially. It's usually like an orangish, brackish kind of brownie, maybe a little black. Since the storm, though, it's almost entirely black. And when I dump the water out, there's a very distinct, like, silt-like substance that's in the water, anywhere between a quarter and a half a cup each time. And 2 other family members have the exact same experience who never had that before either. It's never been totally black. There's never been that kind of silt or anything solid in there, and it's never had a smell. Plus, I've been getting these weird joint aches, kind of like a heavy metal type reaction, and headaches, really weird headaches. And when I do the foot detox, it goes away for a couple days. Toward the end of the week, it comes back. I do the foot bath, and it goes away again. These headaches are nothing like I've ever had before. They're in the center of my head where my third eye is and on my temples, but nothing like my traditional headaches. And the third eye, the pineal gland, very interesting. I think the silt is graphene oxide and metals, and so does he. I think I included him saying that in this segment. There was so much and I had to limit because of time. Plus, I wanted to tell her listeners that, again, that all-natural Amish ointment, you can use Vicks in your nose. Cover your eyes, cover your ears with a hat, try and keep your mouth closed. That helps. I'm telling you, folks, I could go out there and shovel. Within 5 minutes, I would be out of breath, like my chest would hurt. I'd have to come in. It would take me 10 to 15 minutes to recover. I couldn't make it up the stairs. I put that stuff in my nose, put my sunglasses on, cover my ears. I could shovel for 3.5 hours, no problem. But with the foot detox bath, as well as the heavy metals, I looked it up the other night because I was curious. And sure enough, I found articles that say that detoxing with foot baths also removes parasites. Kind of funny that I was guided to do it once a week from once a month. and insistently. I kept getting the message until I changed to once a week. Plus, I was guided in vision several years ago not to let the rain touch my skin when I was outside and it was raining one day. And I got that message every single time it rained. And that was around the time he says he's noticed these parasites started to appear in his snow samples. And in the recent snowstorm, I kept hearing, don't let the snow get into your face. Don't breathe in the snow. Because with the Amish origins, Vicks, whatever you're using, sometimes you're prone to mouth breathe if you put it too thick in your nose. And I was also hearing not to let the snow touch my skin. And I've got 3 jars of melted snow sitting on my counter, and guess what? It melted, and there's little black flecks in it, and yep, with the flashlight, there's little things swimming around, and they're getting bigger. I wish I could go back to the days when I was a kid and just have my simple little sea monkeys and magic rocks, because at least brine shrimp, when they grew, you know, the sea monkeys, were kind of cute in comparison to these worm-like, hydra-like creatures that I'm finding in the water now. Buckle in, folks. Refresh your coffee. We're going to get started. We're going to run over an hour, I promise. Let's get this party started with John Kness.
And as time went on, I felt like I was going backwards again. And I said, there must be something still going on. And we were all given a vaccine. We called it the Desert Storm vaccine. In my case, they flew it on board the ship on a pallet. That vaccine caused my whole ship. We all talked about it openly. We're like lab rats or something. Well, what it turned out to be was the initial trial for what they just did to the whole world. I watched because I was forward lookout, helmsman, and aft lookout. Those were my main positions. I watched 3 people get zipped up and airlifted off the ship the week that these shots were administered.
And this was before you landed in Desert Storm, before you got to the desert, right, that these were all given?
This is just as Desert Shield was going to become Desert Storm. When the admin knew it, that's when they flew that stuff out to us, dropped it off, and said, give it to all of them. So about 350,000 of us were sent to the Gulf, all of which were given that vaccine. About 90%+ of us are dead now. There are very few Desert Stormers, forward deployed Desert Stormers, I can still talk to. So it sounds very familiar to what just happened to the whole world. This caused my curiosity, and at the same time, well, there's a lot going on. After Desert Storm, I got into aircraft maintenance. You know, I continued on in what I was doing as a double oather. I just wanted to make a difference. So I stayed in aircraft maintenance and inspection. And along the way, a lot of things occurred that really didn't hit me up front. Looking in hindsight, I should have recognized these symptoms. But in 2012, I became severely ill to where I couldn't work anymore. The VA disabled me, and long story short, let's fast forward to after the hyperbaric chamber. I'm turned back on. Everything's working, except I'm wondering why I'm going backwards. And so I start looking for other answers. And I had a clue when they said your body's too old to fight it anymore. What was I, 46? I'm like, BS.
Yeah.
I'm not too old to fight anything anymore. And what happened to all my brothers and sisters in arms? Where'd they go? Unfortunately, they've passed. But what I discovered in the snow, starting in 2022, I was taking samples. Every single snow, rain, hail, especially the hail is the most contaminated sample I've taken. And I originally looked at this because the snow wasn't melting right. I was worried about the Colorado River. I live at the one of the five fingers. But in the process of examining these snow melts, we start to see things grow in the jar, just like I originally showed you. And still can. If, let me get this in the camera just right, and you can see them in there under the UV light.
Wow.
Okay, and if I swirl it around, you'll see more. So anyways, I decided, wow, I'm gonna need a microscope. And I thought about it and I said, what happens if I look into a microscope? What's gonna happen to me? What I was worried about happened. It changed my life.
Sure.
I started discovering things that don't belong in any part of this Earth's ecosystem. What you're seeing here is actual footage of what is in not just this last big storm's precipitation, but what you're seeing has been in every single sample, probably over 200, since Christmas of 2022, just before 2023. And around New Year's 23, I decided to go ahead and get the microscope. That matches a patent that we were able to find.
Oh, wow.
And it started to look like this was a very real concerted effort to fill people with synthetic parasites.
Yes.
These are not natural. These are lab-created gain-of-function. We remember a certain person talking about gain-of-function all the time.
We sure do.
So acquiring new abilities is what you would say to a layman, to normal people. So these things are acquiring new abilities. And I've been watching over the last few years as they do. And as the technology keeps evolving, it was bad enough the way it was in 2022. And when I researched all of this, some people have been suffering with what they call Morgellons for 15 years, some even 30. And 30 goes back to Desert Storm. And that's when we came home. We partied like rock stars. We were treated like rock stars. And I can tell you other things happened like rock stars. But we never knew what we were full of. That vaccine they had brought on the ship, it had already started the process that's happening all over the world right now.
It makes so much sense. And afterwards, they made it, they advertised as though it was what you were contaminated with in the desert, not what they had injected you guys with.
Correct, but I was never near the desert, nor was I in combat. We trained a lot. It might as well have been. However, actual combat, I was never in. It was over so fast, we got turned around while we were going full speed towards it. That's it. But being forward deployed, we still got those shots. Just in case it lasted longer than Uncle Sam thought. And I don't hate Uncle Sam. I got to get this out. Whatever they tried there, it didn't work well. And all of us are dead now. Over 91% of us aren't here anymore to tell this story. But we knew we were lab rats then. We didn't know the details. And now I'm finding that technology is now 30 years plus years more advanced. And that's what certain people in media were talking about when they said gain of function.
Yep.
And so now I would say at least 50% of the human race is not accepting these new vaccines well, but that's because they're not a medicine. They never were a medicine. It was never meant for medicinal purposes. The more I look at the snow, the more I can tell you exactly what COVID was. Not to get too deep into that, but these synthetic parasites are driving an ever-increasing amount of the population crazy. Not just crazy, but also with physical problems, turbo cancers, fibromyalgia,
yes,
muscular dystrophy, all these different things. I can see in the microscope exactly how this technology can cause all that. And when I was, when I got it out of me, suddenly, all of a sudden, my degenerative disc disease stopped. I actually grew another half inch having gotten it out of me. That's after losing 3 inches since the Navy at 48 years old. My bone density has returned to normal. My heart functions have returned to normal. I don't take heart meds anymore.
Good for you.
And I never let anyone ablate nerves to my heart or my back. All of that was circumventing the truth about what's known as a virus.
Yes.
A virus and parasite can be exchanged. Now, these are synthetic, so treating them requires a whole different line of thinking. So you're not looking for ivermectin. You're not looking for fenbendazole. You're not looking for, and each one only treats their own class of natural parasites. But these are lab-created, gain-of-function creatures, creatures.
Since you mentioned ivermectin, because that's being pushed so heavily now, can you go into what you saw that it actually does to the synthetic parasites? Because I think this is very important.
A lot of people may not be ready for this information.
They need to know.
They might be very hurt and scared by it. So version one of ivermectin acts like a fertilizer to these synthetic parasites. They recognize it. And when they're exposed to ivermectin, they immediately start growing anchor hairs and lodge in the body forever, and then grow at a faster pace. But first, they stop and grow anchor hairs. And this creates the illusion of relief because they're not crawling around anymore. So somewhere between 4 months to even a little over a year, someone might think, yeah, I cured myself. That's exactly what's not happening. Version two causes mutation as well. This can all be seen under the microscope. Anybody can go by our microscope and go prove this to themselves repeatedly every single time.
Please do.
I've already done it once. People keep asking me to redo it, but the powers that be, if I mess with them too much, I'll get deplatformed.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to do it again. I have my old footage, but I can certainly assure anyone that you wouldn't approach a synthetic parasite or treating yourself for synthetic parasites by treating yourself for natural ones in the first place.
And that's the point. The ivermectin has worked for the natural parasites, and the fenbendazole has worked for the natural parasites, but we're dealing with something that is new, that I believe they knew that we would start removing the natural parasites, and they had to develop something that we would have to figure out and would be much more difficult.
Being a veteran, so you just nailed it on the head. Being a veteran, I'm thinking tactically. I'm thinking, if I made this stuff, what would I do? And I almost took ivermectin myself, but I said, you know what? There was a little voice my head that said, test it under microscope first.
Good for you.
Test it. Think tactically. Like, if you created a beast like this, what would you do with it?
Right.
And so it turned out to be just like spraying bug spray on a robot. Nothing's going to happen except maybe a defensive response, especially a military robot. So they grow anchor hairs and they lodge themselves in the body. And the only way people can get them out is to dig them out And that's why they have so many scars all over them and everything else. And so I had to find an alternative way. I tested the other big three. I tested the big three.
Okay.
And I'll call it four because of version one and version two of ivermectin. Version two, after it was deshelved and reshelved. Oh, boy. That's a whole nother podcast on its own. It's even worse.
Okay.
But people have now locked these things inside their body. It's a fact of life. It's the way it is. They've been led down a certain road. All these social media advertisements. Now they're even on television, YouTube, everything. And people are forgetting the one main fact here. These are not natural parasites. And so they do react, they recognize it, they trigger, and they lodge themselves in the body, and it makes it so much harder to get out. So I had to look for something else. My dad's an electrical engineer. He helped fight the Cold War at Point Magoo. He taught me a lot about electricity growing up.
All this information that you keep on putting out every second, it's overwhelming. Okay.
I know, but stick with me. This is important stuff.
But understanding electrochemistry, bioelectricity, and just electricity in general, I had to search for something that wasn't going to trigger these synthetic parasites into locking themselves in the body. The only way I'm going to get them and their technology out is to literally get them and their technology out. And I found that in the form of quercetin, which is a natural product. It used to be in apple skins. They used to say an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah.
Well, quercetin is no longer in our growing soils. So in order to get any quercetin in us, we have to take supplements that are generally made out of onions. There's a lot of quercetin in onions, too. However, it works the way it works, if you want to know right now, is to keep it simple, is it reverses the polarity of the cells around any invader. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be a synthetic parasite, a real parasite. It could be a metal sliver. It could be anything. It could be an old nail stuck in you that you stepped on and broke part of it off because it was rusty. It'll push it back out of your skin.
Amazing.
Like two opposing magnets pushing each other away. You know, when we take them off the fridge and we put the wrong sides together, well, you're the bigger magnet, so everything else has to get out.
Right.
And that gets them out of our deep organs. It was week two in quercetin therapy. I knew I could stop taking my heart meds. I could feel the difference.
Wow. And when you first discovered it, I want you to tell them how you discovered it and what you were using, because that is going to help families treat their children, because it's harder to give children the capsules that quercetin, you know, come in. But you shared about elderberry. Will you share that briefly, because that's how parents can address and treat their children?
Okay, so I have, and the most useful, fast thing to know if someone has synthetic parasites within them is a 365 UV flashlight.
Okay.
I think I got this for $25. This is kind of what it looks like to the camera. And I'll just use, this is my trophy jar. Okay, right now it looks like there's nothing in it.
But whoa, look. Because he saved these and they're growing.
Okay, so just because they're invisible to the eye does not mean they're not there. And they're dropping this in the sky from aircraft I used to work on. As a kid, I didn't know exactly. You know, everything was compartmentalized. I just did my little piece on the airplane as a young mechanic and moved on.
So we all have them. It's not a matter of if, we all have them, and families need to be treating their entire family. Everybody needs to be treated.
I'll just say I saw my first aerosol operational aircraft that had been converted from a mid-air refueler into what I call a spray liner in the summer of 2000 at Tucson International Airport. That's when I saw my first one. I was just a young mechanic then. There it is. So this goes on between New Mexico and I'm here in southern Colorado at about 7,000 feet looking down on New Mexico. And I have one hell of a view almost all the way to the Gulf because of the elevation difference. And this goes on behind my house all the time. And so I started taking samples of that. And what I found was truly disturbing. And this light will even show you that it's in every single square centimeter of snow. The snow will glow back, just like the sample jar. And here's the very last snow melt. See if I can get that in the camera. And we can see, there we go. What's in the bottom of this? If I spin it just a little bit, we'll see more. But you can see that. And then when I put it under microscope, so much more becomes obvious. And what becomes obvious is that the human race is under attack.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The animals on this planet are under attack. They're trying to infest everything with this technology. Once you aerosolize something at 60,000 feet, everything under 60,000 feet is going to be contaminated.
That's right.
As a young mechanic, I would have never believed our government or anyone else would ever do something like that to us. Well, now that all the Desert Stormers are dead and we can no longer have a goat farm because all the babies come out with severe problems, if they're alive at all.
Just a little Volbeat and I making sure you're still with us.
Obviously, in advertising, everybody's seeing all of these get rid of your parasites ads. Let's just say for the last 4 or 5 years, nonstop, solid, whether it's social media or whatever you're watching, even Fox News now, you know, in between, is something about, you know, and there's 20 doctors lined up and they're all saying, take ivermectin. I have that stuff right over here. I don't touch it.
Yeah.
After looking in the microscope, at 12, 24-hour, 48-hour, and 72-hour periods, I decided, oh, my God, this is the biggest scam ever. And so what I ended up finding, just to shorten this up a bit, was quercetin. It's just that simple with a little zinc in it. Just in case you have natural parasites in you, it'll push either one out. It just pushes any foreign body out of your body. Electrically, it works like that very gently, and it doesn't trigger them. So they'll come to the surface of the skin. And then any good salt, so along with quercetin therapy and taking quercetin every day, goes hand in hand with salt baths because it's an electrolyte. Because it mimics our blood plasma, which is what these synthetic parasites are looking for.
Wow.
It's that dark. And so by surrounding yourself with a bath full of what's nearly blood plasma, they are willing to then come out of the skin and into that water, and oops, they've been tricked.
Excellent. How much salt and what type of salt are you using?
And so down the drain they go. Well, I started out with bath salts. That did get expensive, taking baths every day, sometimes up to 3 times a day is how fast these things were coming out of me. And I needed to find a solution. Not everybody is, you know, just sitting there with a money tree next to them. And you got to make, you know, your bang for your buck. And so what we found out is that canning salts and kosher salt.
Okay.
Just, you can get it at Vons or anywhere. Our grocery store is called the grocery store. I can get it there for half the price of bath salts at Dollar General. Anyways, both work very well. There's a lot of arguments about what brand did you get this way, you know, what kind, what, no, just get salt.
Okay.
It can come from anywhere. The kind you don't want is anything preformed. So you don't want salt for your water softener.
Okay.
And you don't want salt lick bricks for your animal. Those are heavily infested. And I'll be showing that on my page soon.
Thank you.
However, if it's just base salt as mined, I always scan my salt before I put it in the bath to make sure it itself isn't contaminated. I've had zero problems with canning or kosher salt of any brand so far.
Okay.
And it's half the price of bath salts, and it works great. And another advantage to that is you can tell when your bath's ready because it'll taste like tears. Because
okay.
we're mimicking our own blood plasma to attract them to it. And that's what those things are after.
Wow. Adding, smart. Okay.
Adding a little borax to the bath. Borax is sodium, boron, and oxygen. And so it oxygenates the water and makes it even more like our blood plasma.
Okay.
And so that's sort of a way to tune it and make your bath a little more productive, and even more will come out to flush down the drain.
Okay, where they belong. And do you ever use baking soda?
So now we're finding out they're seeding clouds with graphene oxide. Sadly, the human body and graphene oxide, dog's paws and graphene oxide, they don't mix. Graphene oxide has the way to get it off, the way to prove it is to use the backside of a magnet and just go rub it on your driveway or the sidewalk or anywhere else you walk your dog. And it'll come up on the backside of the magnet.
Okay.
Not the side you would normally stick to your fridge. I have a tool I made out of a fridge advertisement, and it's not that side it sticks to. It's the other side.
Okay.
And you can see that. Anyways, in the bath, we can get that out by adding, just sprinkle up and down the length of the bath, baking soda. I also get a large box of it, but I can use it about 50 times. And what you'll notice is a black ring at the high water line, because graphene oxide is so light. We're not talking about a heavy metal now. We're talking about a very light metal, much lighter than aluminum. So it floats on top of the water, but it sticks to the bath, because most bathtubs are just porcelain painted steel. And so it sticks to that. And you'll see that ring after you drain the tub. But it does draw it back out of our pores. And that's the thing. All of this stuff is meant to be so small that it just falls in our pores like a skydiver into a volcano.
Yep. And we can do this with our pets, too. I've been seeing even a pet version of the quercetin when I started looking for it after speaking with you. A lot of people are asking me how to help their pets. Wow. Okay.
So to help pets, you know, obviously they're not going to, they're not going to lay in a salt bath as long as us and watch a movie, you know, and just let things happen. That they do want to get out. And so mixing kosher salt with coconut oil.
Mm.
And you can put that all over your dog and just have this much of your bath filled, you know.
Mm. Okay.
And use a cup and pour the salt water all over them. But once you put that on, they can shake all they want, but it's not coming off. And it still draws the parasites out. And then later you can take a shower head or whatever, just like yourself, and shower them off. And you'll see it all with the black light in the bottom of the tub.
Okay.
Ready to go down the drain.
Excellent. Wow.
One of my two dogs suffers with it pretty bad. But we keep her okay, treating her just the same as a human without the zinc.
That's right. You did remind me of that. No zinc for the animals.
Correct. Okay. I do put quercetin in their food, but it's pure quercetin.
Okay.
Tyler, why is the treat jar empty?
He was hungry.
So you gave him one?
A few.
How many is a few?
All of them.
But people gotta get together. They gotta make some noise.
That's right.
Because as long as it stays secret and people stay silent and afraid, that is where trouble lives the best. Parasites live in stealth. Stealth is their whole life. Once they're exposed, it's over. And these people who have created them, they are parasites. And once they're exposed, it's over. So everybody needs to get together, get their microscopes, get their proof, and sound off.
That's right. That's right. Let's go.
Because who are we going to talk to? These things are killing people left and right. Doctors are giving them strange names. They're coding things. And in fact, it's just these destroying, interrupting signals between the brains, the people's brains and their organs, and causing things to fail. Mm-hmm. Stealing their energy. And in fact, giving away their personal information. One way to know if you have these is if your phone reads your mind or knows when you wake up before you ever touch it. That's a good indication that you're infested.
Okay.
And that connection to your phone can be broken. It's just a matter of getting them out.
Being consistent with this treatment, and I know I'm going to get busy. I instinctively, I think I told you, I have been drinking hibiscus tea a few times a day. I didn't even realize that it has quercetin naturally in it, just like you shared with the elderberry, the same thing.
Yes.
And I think so many of us are just naturally being drawn to what our body needs right now. But I need to get proactive with the baths. So thank you for that. Wow.
And it really is that simple. I see what a lot of people are doing online, and if they wrote it out, it would be like 7 pages. Mm-hmm. It's really this simple, you know, take quercetin, take your salt baths. Yes, you might have to commit for 5 weeks. It is itchy, but when you're done, you're so proud of yourself. When your phone no longer knows what you're doing until you grab it, you're so proud of yourself. The rewards greatly outweigh the inconvenience of itching.
I know, John, firsthand. I did parasite cleansing 8 years ago and removed the non-synthetic parasites from my body, a lifetime worth. And I haven't been sick since then. It changed my life. And that's why I speak and share. And I told you about my dreams years ago. All of it ties into now. That's why we're here. That's why we have to do what we do. So
in
thank
fact,
you.
And that's why I went public. I couldn't do it anymore. The groups were keeping me down for whatever reason. I seem to get more censored by the groups than any of my previous posts on my own page where I tried to warn my friends.
they were fighting against you. And I really think it's the ivermectin topic, because I get attacked anytime I talk negative about it as well. And
well, those people won't be around to attack you anymore very long.
It's so sad. And, you know, the ivermectin, what is useful, and I've seen people with stage 4 cancer use it and beat their cancer. I think if you're going to use it, it needs to be used temporarily. But now that we're dealing with these synthetic parasites, we do need to shift treatment.
Well, we do need to treat for synthetic parasites first. Then once we know we're no longer attached to our phone, once we know that they're no longer coming out in the bath and we can see with our light that they're not in there,
yep,
that's probably the time to go after.
Good plan. Good plan. That makes a lot of sense. Yes.
Then ivermectin. But ivermectin's only one class, so you want to take this carefully. Do one thing at a time, because if you do 10 things at a time, which one are you going to either blame or credit for either getting worse or better?
That's right.
So we just need to go one at a time, take our patients, don't panic. That's the number one instruction anyone under oath will tell you to stay alive is, first, don't panic. Second, methodically get yourself out of the situation you're in. And so,
wow, John.
You know, that's what I can encourage people to do.
The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the host and possibly her pets, who occasionally walk across the keyboard, jingle their collars, drink some water when they can't steal mom's coffee, growl while wrestling with their siblings, and even snore at high volumes when they feel slighted and are bored. Any resemblance to actual facts is purely coincidental, and this show is solely for entertainment purposes only. Wink, wink, nod, nod. While every effort has been made to ensure accuracy, sometimes our brains run on coffee and wishful thinking, and possibly a conspiracy theory or two. This broadcast may contain traces of sarcasm, bad puns, and music to make you dance. Side effects may include spontaneous laughter, eyebrow raises, and the uncontrollable urge to sing along. Listen responsibly.
Okay, the next triple shot by Dr. Edward Group and Tina Lynn, 8104. The second by Tradewell, and the third by Wellness Radar and Healing Pearls by Sandra. More on different parasitical things. And then we'll get into what some people are using as cures. Sorry, folks, no Gen X or recipe tonight, because who wants a recipe for spaghetti when we're listening to this stuff, huh? But speaking of spaghetti, here's a little promo for you. Are you a real estate agent or a content creator who feels like you're just throwing spaghetti at the wall with your marketing? You're an expert in your field. You shouldn't have to be an expert in algorithms, too. Stop guessing and start growing. V. Smith Media takes the mystery out of your digital footprint. They don't do one-size-fits-all. They have specific consulting packages designed just for your industry. Whether you're selling houses or running an online store or creating courses, webinars, podcasts, and books, pick the package that fits your goals. Visit vsmithmedia.com to get you sorted.
I used to recommend people do a parasite cleanse every 6 months. I realize now I wasn't really taking it as serious as I would have taken it now, because, well, let's just say a lot's changed in the last 3 years. A lot. Since COVID, a lot has changed with all the different types of organisms. When I got the whistleblower information that the Department of Energy was behind the creation of over 400,000 parasitical organisms using brewer's yeast and cesium-137 to create these things, I mean, we knew that they were creating and putting all these things out into the environment, but I didn't have proof until 3 months ago, and let alone who out there has been targeting brewer's yeast. I mean, nobody out there has a product. We all used to think nutritional yeast was actually good for you, and it was good for you. We didn't know they were going to hijack it and turn it into genetically modified brewer's yeast to produce nanotechnology, produce venoms, produce all these compounds, produce all these toxins, produce all these chemicals. This is why the importance of what I said at the AGES conference was the Trojan horse that they're using the dark forces that want to control and manipulate and turn you into a half cyborg, they're using resistant, genetically modified brewer's yeast.
They call me Dr. Worm. Good morning, how are you? I'm Dr. Worm.
Electroparasites that they have introduced into us. Electroparasites, they're cellular micro devices. And apparently they're in all the different vaccine types. And they're just floating around. They seem to congregate. They do different things. They seem to be able to wiggle. And some are fibrous. Some are glowing in different colors. They're employing properties of what you find in nanotech anyway. And the Morgellons people were finding this in their bodies, and they were suffering extremely. Some of them had giant lesions that let out. I hate to say this because people are going to think I'm crazy, but you can watch my videos on YouTube. They're still up there and all over, from chemtrails to pseudo-life. So the people were issuing from their bodies, in some cases, bits of bark, twigs, leaves. These were life forms that the bodies were making from this assembling material.
Well, let me just say a couple things here, Sophia, as we continue this incredible conversation about what's happening to humanity, this anti-human terroristic plot to destroy humanity and to make people transhuman. My friend Firemedic 8, whose video is there at the top of the phaser.com as we're having this conversation, in a different video, he likes to study all sorts of different things, you know, what's in the air, what's in the water. He put out a dish, and then the next day he took a look at what was in the rainwater, and he found these Morgellons like structures in rainwater. I don't want to startle anyone, but it really does seem like these things are kind of everywhere.
Microwave radiation pulsing through our urban world today could very well be the newest phase of a giant experiment. With the signing of the Atomic Energy Act in 1946, the Manhattan Project became the Atomic Energy Commission, which created the Joint Committee on Atomic Energy. This was an independent, all-powerful congressional entity, the most powerful secret committee in modern history, free from oversight and with legislative authority. It was done away with in 1977, the same year the Atomic Energy Commission was renamed the Department of Energy. Today, the Department of Energy is known as the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, DEEP, D-E-E-P. Its ostensible focus, exploring production of energy for the welfare of the planet and protection of the environment, when the environment is really being taken apart and changed.
Majority of cancers are actually parasite infections, misdiagnosed as cancerous tumors, masses, cysts, period. So if you have uterine fibroids, if you have ovarian cysts, if you have thyroid goiters, if you have liver masses, lung lesions, or masses, and you've been told that they're cancerous, or breast nodules, 80% of the time it's actually a parasite egg sac, not cancer or anything. But in America, they get zero education in parasitology, and they are told in America that parasites don't exist in America. However, the CDC says it's very common to get parasites in America. It's very odd that the CDC says that, but the medical schools don't teach that. But parasites are the number one cause of cancer in America. There is a second, very close cause of cancer, and they've known it since 1956. That is snake venom. It causes cancer. Turbo cancers is what they called it. And then these two scientists that figured it out, who were paid by the American Cancer Society to figure it out.
That last clippy was Dr. Brian Artis. I've recommended his book to you before. It's still very pertinent. Moving Beyond the COVID-19 Lies. He's got a ton of cures in there. The next two clippies from Rise Above It All is a Russian woman. I'm playing the first one in its entirety. The second one I've shortened up a little bit. If any of you know Russian women, because I had friends that were Russian and Slavic, they're pretty intense. They tell it like it is. And this woman is no exception when she talks about some treatments that Russians do and also some symptoms that you have parasites. The part that I cut out is when she talks about here in the U.S., she has blood tests taken to determine if she has parasites. Because we don't treat them the way Russians do.
This is a very sensitive topic. Parasites in the United States. The United States medical system denies the existence of parasites, and you cannot go and do tests for different types of parasites. In Russia, it is a common sense, and there are specific separate hospitals, you know, like oncology hospital. They will have parasites hospital. And I made a video where I went to the doctor. I wanted to test for different types of parasites because I went to Mexico and doctor had no clue. And the only way how I can check for parasites is to see my blood markers for inflammation. Like I'm going to touch the screenshot what I'm going to check and what I'm able to check in the States. And a lot of people were asking me, how do you cleanse for parasites? That's the whole problem. It's a whole medical huge field. You can't just drink a little bit of pills and just be fine. When I went to China, I brought back some parasites and I needed to do treatment. The eggs of parasites, they can travel around your body. It's very hard to detect them and they're literally eating your organs. Like you can't believe it. And like, oh, everybody has parasites, so whatever. You can't leave it like that. They're gonna eat your organ tissue. They're gonna cause inflammation, autoimmune disease. Like the amount of problems in America, like main problems is what? Anxiety, autoimmune diseases, behavioral change. A lot of people are treated from psychological issues. These can all be parasites. Other parasites, they can be in liver, they can be in brain. You all asking me like, what do Russians do? Russians go to this hospital and there is a screening. There was a whole type of markers. Each specific parasite will be tested, have pets twice a year. It is a standard practice. All Russians are deparasiting their kids.
I'm not a doctor, but as I live in the United States, this is what I'm looking in my blood tests all the time. See if I might have somebody. Skin rashes, tooth grinding, mood swings, fatigue, obesity, or not enough of body mass may be indicating that somebody has parasites. Next, Russians like fasting. We have specific retreat facilities. Actually, Russians have retreat facilities for different cases, for to treat specific conditions, and it is very popular to go and fast for 2, 3, 4 and more days. Is like a hospital, like a whole huge 5-story building.
You are in my heart. You are in my mind. You are in my God, you Lord God. You're my favorite parasite.
So I found her clippies interesting because there's been talk about organisms being placed in the jab, right? What if they were parasites and that might be part of what's contributing to the people who's received them's mood changes? Interesting stuff, huh? Plus, think about what Dr. Artis said about the snake venom, which some people claim has also been put in the jabs. And the amount of cancers and turbo cancers we're seeing from people who have taken it? Okay, let's get into what some people are using for treatment. The first one from Low-Tox Sam, we're talking about binders here, and she's recommending zeolite. Although, from the people I've spoken to, they prefer activated charcoal. I guess it's a preference thing.
Stop using papaya seeds, garlic, or pumpkin seeds to kill parasites because you're being misled or at the very least misinformed. This type of information is dangerous and can actually cause more harm because parasites aren't just sitting in your gut waiting for you to chew on some garlic to just leave your body. Okay, so they're deeply embedded, protected by biofilm, and use heavy metals to hide from the immune system. That's why it's imperative to detox heavy metals first so you can get to the root of the problem. I always start with a heavy metal detox for several weeks, zeolite being my go-to because it's a natural mineral that's very gentle on the body but binds to toxins and heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum, all the things that parasites love to feed off of. After I've prepped my body for several weeks with zeolite, only then do I go in for an actual parasite cleanse. What most people don't understand is when you begin to kill off parasites, they release a whole bunch of toxins and lay eggs, dumping all this in your system, which can cause what we call die of symptoms and actually make you sick. That's why we prep our bodies with zeolite, because it works as a binder and attaches to all these toxins and sweeps them out of your body so that you don't get sick. I then go in with a potent herbal blend, which has wormwood, black walnut, and cloves to kill the parasites while I'm still binding with the zeolite. These herbs are well-known and well-trusted because they've been used for thousands of years to aid in parasite elimination from the body.
Also interesting to note is supposedly what they're spraying down on us is what? Heavy metals with these parasites? Sounds like the makings for a perfect parasitical storm. But oh, look over here, the Epstein files.
I feel like they're trying to distract us from something.
Next up from Low-Tox Sam, a Latin American woman shares her family's cure for parasites, and after that, can't stop laughing.
The parasite treatment that my generation of kids took when we were little, pure coconut milk. And it wasn't out of a can. She basically grated a fresh coconut, and then she squeezed the milk out of it. And she would wake us up at about 4 o'clock in the morning because you have to be on an empty stomach. And she made us drink about a half a cup. It was disgusting. As a kid, we hated it. It felt thick. It had no sugar, pure coconut milk. And then she would put a bedpan in the middle of the patio. And one by one, we would sit in it because she needed to see if it was working. Because if it wasn't working, we would have the same treatment again the next day. And she did this for like 4 days in a row until every last one came out. When I tell you, I saw all those parasites coming out, it looked like a bowl of spaghetti. That's what it looked like. And I know for a lot of you, it's foreign. People in my generation remember. Yeah, we remember. And that's because there are so many ways that you can get parasites in Latin America. In the water, the food, they're everywhere. And so mothers have to protect their children this way. They don't let their belly get full of, you know how you see those children that have a big belly? That's because they're full of parasites. Keeps them from gaining weight. And so she did this every single year. She made us drink the coconut milk. And it was effective. If you think you have parasites, I highly recommend it. It does have to be pure coconut milk. It cannot have any other ingredient.
If you live in the South, and you know good and well, your mama, your meemaw, or somebody's Aunt Linda was out here handing out medical advice like they had a PhD from the University of Waffle House.
You got a sore throat, and you ain't going to the doctor. You're getting a hot toddy. Whiskey, honey, lemon, and don't you dare spit it out. Be 8 years old, buzzing at the bus stop. Stomachache, ginger ale, not just any ginger ale. It better be Canada Dry, cold, in a real glass with crushed ice. Apparently, that cures everything but taxes. Busted your knee up and outside, that's fine. They're gonna pour peroxide on it like it's holy water and then blow on it like that made it better. And if it don't bubble, well, I guess it won't that bad. Can't sleep. They ain't giving you melatonin. Making you a mug of warm milk and turn it on the Weather Channel. You just listen to Jim Cantor talk about the cold front, you'll be out in 3 minutes.
Coughing up a lung, that Vicks Vapor Rub's coming out. Chest, back, feet, with socks. They'll slather it on you like it's Crisco. You can slip off the couch if you lean too far forward. Got a bee sting? Put some tobacco on it. Not a cream, not a patch. An actual wad of spit-soaked tobacco like we don't have modern science. Now hold still while I put this Copenhagen on you. If you've ever been treated with something out of the kitchen or the tackle box, drop your family's weirdest remedy in the comments, and I know y'all got one. Make sure you like this video, save it so you can come back and see it later, and repost it so somebody else can see it. Appreciate y'all.
Next up, Healing Pearls by Sandra.
Here we go. Tequila, lemon juice, salt versus parasites. Let's see what goes down. First up, the shot of glass. Yep, that's tequila. Add a squeeze of lemon juice. Sprinkle some salt. Now mix it up. And here's where it gets wild. He pulls up with a dropper, adds parasites to the slime, and under the microscope, it goes. Now, count with me. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They start paralyzing, literally dying off almost instantly. Time to wake up. Time to detox. This is what's living inside of us.
Next up, Steph's detox life. You might recognize that she uses Barbara O'Neill in the beginning.
I don't use ivermectin. I don't advise ivermectin. I have no interest in having ivermectin in my home because it is a drug, and I don't agree with drug therapy.
Let's talk about the part of ivermectin that no one's really talking about. So if you're looking to kill all parasites in all life cycles, then I have a little secret for you. Ivermectin might not be the one for you. So ivermectin only targets one class of parasites, and that's the nematopes. That's your whipworm, your roundworm, your pinworms, but what about the rest? Ivermectin isn't going to touch the liver flukes, which are the most common, and they are a major player in liver cancer and liver failure. It's also not going to touch the tapeworms. You can have tapeworms for a really long time, and they can actually burrow holes into your brain. When I deworm, I'm going to go after all the parasites in all their life cycles. So that's the egg, the larvae, and the adult. I use three herbs that have been used for centuries: black walnut, clove, and wormwood. These three herbs work together synergistically to eradicate parasites. But There's a catch. You need to make sure that you're using a binder. If you do not, you're going to experience really bad die-off symptoms. You've probably heard the stories of people using ivermectin as a parasite cleanse and feeling horrible. These are the die-off symptoms we talk about. That's because they're not using a proper binder to eradicate all of the toxins out of your body. When parasites die, they start to release the eggs, the heavy metals that they've been holding in their bodies into your bloodstream. This is going to overwhelm your body and make you sick. So you need that binder to pull everything out of your system.
So the whiskey and the vodka videos that I had, I can't find the ones with sound. The ones that I do have just show them dropping the alcohol on top of the parasites on slides, and it's all reading. So I apologize for that. Look it up, though. I'm sure you'll find something. It's literally 4 a.m. here, and so that's probably part of the reason I can't find the videos right now. But here's one more from Coherence with Brit about frequency and killing parasites.
Did you know that in 1934, Royal Raymond Rife claimed something radical? That specific frequencies could disable pathogens without harming any healthy tissue in the body. Microscopes of the time showed parasites slowed or affected by certain frequencies, like 728 hertz. But here's the real question nobody asks. If this worked in 1934, where did it go? Rife believed that every microorganism has a mortal oscillatory rate, a frequency it would stop functioning at. Some early microscopes appeared to show microbe changes as frequencies shifted. These experiments were not reproducible in rigorous scientific research. Over time, the scientific community required controlled studies, and that's where Rife's claims faded from mainstream acceptance. There is science on frequencies today, but in different ways. Ultrasound at specific frequencies is used in medical imaging. Certain frequencies are used for bone healing and nerve stimulation. PEMF devices are researched for inflammation and recovery. But why does this matter beyond the physical? Because our entire nervous system runs on electrical and vibrational signals. In spirituality, we talk about frequency as a state of being. Calm, compassionate, high vibe, all measurable in different ways. Now, to talk of 728 hertz specifically. Today I talk about 728 hertz, not because it's a magic cure-all, but because it's associated with cleansing, inner peace, and letting go. It supports nervous system entrainment. It helps calm the field when used mindfully. This frequency becomes a tool, not a weapon, a way to tune ourselves rather than destroy anything. So tell me, have you ever used frequency intentionally for healing or meditation? Have you ever used it to cleanse parasites from your body?
And lastly, I want to remind everybody about what we talk about pretty frequently here on my show, intention. Intention is so powerful. Pray over your food, bless and clear your food, and anything that you put into your body, anything that you drink, bless it and purify it. Set the intent that nothing harmful can come into your body, only the positive things, the nutrients that your body needs to thrive and to heal are able to enter your body. Do the same thing with the sky above. Nothing can come down from the sky in your domain, on your territory, that's harmful. It gets washed away or it gets blown away. Do a simple meditation each morning or evening or both, picturing every single cell in your body, your bloodstream, your entire system, all of your organs, your brain being totally clean of all parasites, totally healed in perfect working order, and put a protective shield around your body and your home and property. Believe it. Don't second guess it. Do it and know that it's working. I don't want to hear any of y'all saying, I'm not gifted. I wasn't born that way. We were all born with these gifts, okay? Just do it. We were told we could all do what Jesus did.
Captain Kirk, bridge to Captain Kirk.
Kirk here.
An urgent call from Dr. McCoy, sir.
Put him on.
Jim.
Yes, Bond.
We may be able to get these people back on course.
You've located the controls?
No, but I've seen the book that contains all the knowledge.
And as always, remember, for any of your mental, spiritual, physical, or emotional needs, get a hold of me at Maggie, MAGGIE_Hart, HEART, at Outlook.com. The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. That's my show for tonight, cannolis. I know this wasn't the most pleasant of topics, but hopefully you learned something here. You got something you could take away from it. Do your own research. Take care of each other. Please like and share my content. Join the Trim Radio Network Creator Studio, where you'll find other cool shows like Peter Kling's Revelations Thursday at 9, Red Pill Reality Show with my good buddy Rascala Saturdays at 9 to 12, both Eastern Standard Time. There's Money and Change with Stu Scheer. There's Offsides College Football. Lots of stuff for everybody. I apologize. Last week's Espresso A Dolce segment didn't get played. Hopefully it'll be there tonight after this show. Take a listen for a few secs and see if it pops up. Good night, everybody.